And welcome back to the special election edition of Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Lori Walsh. And for a look at the South Dakota state legislative races, we're now joined by Dakota political junkies Dana Ferguson and Jonathan Ellis. Both are with the Argus Leader Media in Sioux Falls. Dana and Jonathan, thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Hey, Kara.
Thanks for having us.
So, Dana, you watch the key races for the State House. What exactly happened?
You know, it was just a blowout for the Republicans last night. I don't even think they completely anticipated the level of success that they were going to have. They're going to be going back to peer with an even larger supermajority. They picked up 4 seats in competitive districts, and I think it was just a big night of disappointment for the Democrats.
Two races are possibly up for a recount. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. So as you mentioned, we are seeing 2 races at this point, which Jonathan has indicated is a little bit low as far as possible recounts as compared to years past. The state Senate race out in District 8, very close at this point, within about 100 votes. And Jordan Youngberg, the Republican, is leading Scott Parsley out there. So that one will likely go back and see if they can recount that. And then the second, sorry, I'm just scrolling at this point, trying to go through all of these. But out of District 25, the House race out there is a 4-way contest. Right now, it looks like it'll be a Republican and a Democrat who will be getting those 2 seats, but very, very close between the second Republican and Democrat, Dan Ehlers at this point. So we're going to be watching that one pretty closely as well.
Well, Roger Hunt is a long time, right? A long time member of the legislature.
Yeah,
go
that's
ahead,
correct.
Jonathan.
Yeah, that's correct. Roger Hunt has been there quite a while. And Dan Ehlers, we should say, is also somebody who's served in the legislature in the past. So he's certainly a known entity in that community. But yeah, Roger Hunt, I was pulling up some of his the years on. I mean, he was first elected to the legislature back in 1991 and then sporadically ever since then. So he has about 20 years of legislative service, according to the LRC, Legislative Research Council. So that's quite a that's the one, at least legislatively, that I can see, the one bright spot that the Democrats have. When talking about that District 8 race with Scott Parsley, he's an incumbent Democratic senator up there. And, you know, I did some traveling up in that area in the last couple of weeks, there were just a ton of signs out for Jordan Youngberg. So there's a lot of aggressive campaigning, advertising on his behalf. So, you know, that's a blow for the Democrats to lose an incumbent senator there. And, you know, it's important to put, you know, look, by my count, if the numbers hold out and these 2 recounts are stand as they are, I mean, I think that the Democrats have 6 seats in the Senate and then 10 in the House. You have to go all the way back to 1953 to find a legislative session in which the Democrats had fewer numbers than that. So that tells you, I mean, where we're at. I think in 1967, after the 66 campaign, they had 6 in the Senate and 11 in the House, so pretty close there. But it's even go below that. You have to go all the way back to 1953. That's quite extraordinary.
And do you attribute that to more Republicans turning out to vote that don't typically turn out to vote, or what do you make of it?
Well, I think we're going to be trying to dissect all of those numbers now. Clearly, and this applies not just to South Dakota, but this applies to much of the swath of the country, that the Trump phenomenon brought out a lot of people to vote, and we're starting to hear, you know, people who maybe don't normally aren't as regular voters, and Donald Trump had some coattails. He ended up possibly helping the Republicans retain control of the Senate, stemming some losses in the House, and this applied to some of the legislative races, possibly here in South Dakota, that he helped with the Republican turnout. So I think as the numbers come out, and we have been dissecting some of these numbers at the precinct level, we're trying to get a feel for what exactly happened last night, but it was certainly historic.
And what do you think with this bigger supermajority, I don't quite know what to call it, Dana, about some of the issues that we're expecting to see, like Medicaid expansion and those kinds of conversations in the state legislature? What kind of impact is this going to have?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say this morning. I think there was quite a bit of skepticism coming into today, just looking at how the state legislative races came out. Governor Dugard was going to have a hard enough time convincing GOP legislators to back his proposal to expand Medicaid in South Dakota. But now it's really uncertain whether there will be a program to expand by the time we get into next year. Obviously, the change in administration is going to have likely a profound impact on that. We haven't heard anything from the governor's office this morning as far as what they are planning at this point. I know that opponents of Medicaid expansion are still working sort of behind the scenes today to let community leaders in Sioux Falls, and I imagine across the state, know where they stand on this, to try to convince them to urge legislators to oppose it. So I think it could really change what we're going to be watching for the 2017 legislative session, this big issue that we've really expected to be the top conversation piece is now potentially off the table.
Simply because Donald Trump has said he's going to throw out the Affordable Care Act.
Exactly.
And repeal it right away, right? So do you think there are other issues? Was this an issue-based election? Because I know some Democratic challenged Republicans on the education votes and that kind of thing, or do you think it was just strictly a party vote?
My sense is that it's more of a party vote. I know that there were a number of Democrats across the state that brought up the issue of teacher pay and how Republican incumbents had not supported that during the previous legislative session. There was a lot of conversation about reducing corruption in peer, about trying to eliminate future situations that could lead to corruption similar to the situations we've seen in South Dakota with EB-5 and Gear Up. And apparently those arguments just weren't compelling enough to win over South Dakota voters. A large part of that, too, I think has to do with just the much larger percentage of Republicans registered to vote in the state as compared to Democrats. And I think we saw, too, independents in the state appear to be Republican-leaning as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, lots to talk about in the weeks to come, especially how the ballot initiatives are going to play out in Pierre, and we'll continue that conversation when as we continue this program. Thank you, Dana and Jonathan, both from the Argus Leader. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kara.